North Face of Soho. Written and read by Clive James. A few days ago, in the beautiful city of Valletta, I was helping a 2-year-old boy paint a portrait of his equally beautiful mother. As I vainly tried to demonstrate the concept of using only a small amount of pigment on a fingertip so as not to get blobs and streaks of red paint all over himself, her, me, and the floor, I remembered something. I remembered the afternoon when, at the more advanced age of 5, I was helping my own mother make extra Christmas decorations. We made paper chains. The interlocked loops of coloured paper were fixed by a blob of paste, applied with the fingertip. She left me unsupervised for about 10 minutes, and I got paste all over the kitchen table, her chair, my chair, and the chest of drawers. When she saw the mess, she leaned suddenly against the tall cupboard that held the crockery. I heard some of it rattle. But I remember all that now only because the texture of the red paint on the same finger reminded me of the white paste. The dizzy speed with which the echo of a sense memory kills time continues to astound me. The beginning of my life draws nearer as the end approaches. Perhaps they are the same thing, a loop of paper that will finally be closed by the paste of silence. Stand by for other perceptions equally cheerful. Soon it will be 40 years since my undergraduate career at Cambridge finished and my professional career began. It feels like 40 minutes. Quite commonly, people who make a splash at university aren't much heard of afterwards. For a long while, I looked like being one of those. Overnight success took more time than even I can credit. But when the dust of the effort finally cleared, it turned out that I had hit 2 different kinds of jackpot. I managed to become a small part of the British media landscape, and also to be thought of as part of the Australian expatriate movement. Such a movement never really existed. Most of us who sailed away did so in order to foster our individuality, not to gang up. But the myth was a tenacious media standby, and especially in the Australian press, whose more enthusiastic practitioners are capable of putting Dame Nellie Melba and Kate Blanchett in the same kitchen for a cup of tea and a chat. Nevertheless, on any objective scale, I can't complain of having been ignored, but it's the subjective scale that can haunt your waking hours and even deprive you of sleep. On that scale, I've only seldom, and never for long, felt that I got my career into focus. I made a living, and I made my name, first in Grub Street and Fleet Street, and then later in television. But I still don't feel that I have made it, in the sense of knowing exactly what I'm doing, and being comfortably certain of doing it again tomorrow. This might seem an absurd claim, a counterclaim, a claim to lack of claims. When I look along the shelves of my books and videos, even I can see that I've been quite busy. There is my name over and over, usually written vertically, so that I have to turn my head sideways. The crick in my neck is evidence that I am not shy about doing so. An onlooker might say that I have done something, but I am still not entirely sure about the something, and not at all sure about the I. If I were, I might be less thrilled about seeing my name in print. 10 letters in 2 groups of 5, it still rings a bell of reassurance for its owner. But why does he need the reassurance? Who is this character? Always a keen student of other people's careers, I reached the conclusion quite early on that there is often a discrepancy between the outer show of confidence and the inner assurance. In my own case, I think, the discrepancy is about as large as it can be without a fragmentation of the personality. I learned to do the right thing only by doing all the wrong things first. To be fair to myself, if I got nothing right at all, there would be no achievements to show. But the conviction is that, though the desire to entertain is not to be despised, it rates quite low on the scale of social importance, a long way behind dentistry, and not necessarily very far above the ability to clean lavatories. Most of those who make a living from it are very lucky, and I am even luckier than most. The older I get, the more time I spend wishing I had done things differently. I wish that could be different, but there you go. Or rather, there I go, still trying to clean up the paste with the good lace doily from the chest of drawers. In the closing pages of the last volume of my memoirs,